Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on Member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 28th of May, Anno Domini 2016, and you, oh, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. But first, let us take just a moment to remember our veterans on this Memorial Day weekend. As they say, some... all gave some gave all. And let us spend a moment thinking about the fact that for a lot of us, this is the only time we think about our veterans during the year, and that's a bad thing. All right. Anyway, remind me at some point later to talk about Never 10 as well. But Never 10.
When you're, yeah, you've got your Windows news story in there.
If we this is the first story here. This week, Microsoft finally went too far. The company's obsession with forcing as many Windows 10 upgrades as possible saw it descend into dirty tricks more typical of malware. The move has been widely condemned, and even one of the company's loyalist long-term supporters labeled it a violation of trust that is almost indescribable. And now Microsoft has been forced to issue a warning to Windows 7 and Windows 8 users, having reversed the functionality of the X close button to confirm rather than reject Windows 10 upgrades. Microsoft has now buckled under public and media pressure to introduce a new fail-safe warning prior to the installation beginning. And I quote, Windows 10 upgrade prompts now give an additional option prior to upgrading. It says, click here to reschedule or cancel. Now, of course, Microsoft knows nobody reads the prompts.
Well, this one is pretty big. I mean,
it is pretty big.
Yeah. You'd have to be blind in one eye and can't see out of the other to avoid this one. They did do that right.
Except if you click the X button to close that window.
Forget it, you're host.
That's a confirmation, not a cancellation, which is exactly the opposite of every other window in existence on any platform.
I didn't say it was perfect. I just stating a fact.
You really, really want Windows 10, even if you don't.
Well, right, but it's also a measure of how far Microsoft is prepared to go to achieve its stated goal of 1 billion Windows 10 installations within 2 or 3 years.
It's one of those things that either you get it now until July, the end of July, or you're going to have to pay for it.
Most people will want it if they want when they get their new computer. And that's generally how the average person gets a new operating system is when they buy the new computer.
Right. And we used to buy a new computer every couple of years on average. Now, I know some of you are going to write in and say, I've had my computer since 1840. I'm saying average, most people.
Dude, I'm working on a computer right now.
Yeah.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
XP.
Yeah.
The hard drive died.
Oh, well.
And he wants XP back on it.
Yeah, it's not happening.
No, it's going. He's got the disc. I'm putting it back on.
He's got the disc.
You
know what?
God love
him. There's something to be said for the people who restore like a 1923 Stutz Bearcat. I get that.
Yeah.
I don't get this love for Windows XP. I don't get it.
It's got more holes in it right now
than Swiss cheese.
Yeah, but it's what I'm used to. I don't want.
And yet, every day they're saying, well, it runs real slow and there's viruses and somebody stole my credit card. Yep. You're running Windows XP. Stop complaining. Yep. This is what you signed on for.
There was an article in PC World, I think that's where I initially saw it, probably all around the net now, that the U.S. government is still using Windows 3.1 and floppy disk computers from the 1970s.
That's one of Nick's stories.
Yeah.
Oh, that was your story?
Yeah. There's one on here. No, that's fine.
Yeah. So it's sort of related that people never want to upgrade. You know, they're using COBOL on an IBM Series 1. with 8-inch floppy disks.
I'll tell you what. I tell my students all the time when they say to me, what's the one thing I should learn to get a job in the computer field? I tell them COBOL.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There are 100,000 companies out there still with COBOL code running important fundamental pieces of their businesses.
COBOL and Fortran.
COBOL and Fortran, and both of them need programmers desperately. You'll never be a superstar.
No.
You'll never be a multimillionaire, but you will always have a job.
Steady employment.
So maybe it's not the main thing you do, but you should learn it and have that skill under your belt. So if you ever find that startup you started doesn't get sold to Google, but instead gets recycled, shall we say, you can always find a job for the interim.
I don't know if I'd want to go back to programming.
Oh, not me, but there are people who are programmers.
Oh, yeah. No, I did it for 6 years there at Kodak, yep. You know, and it's like...
I enjoy it, but I'm so slow at it.
Yeah, but the thing was, though, this was, you know, under, you know, for a company,
right.
And you were under such deadlines and that type
right.
of stuff, and they wanted it structured their way.
Right.
Yep.
You know, and you try to sit there and say, but that's not the way the customer wants. Well, that's the way we got it. And then we'd go ahead and do it, and then they'd want it, you know, you take it back. Well, the customer wants to change. Well, why are they?
Of course they want to change because it wasn't right in the first place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the things that is an interesting tell is, in part of this article of the DOD, the Strategic Automated Command for Control Systems for Nuclear Forces, so basically running our nuclear missiles, is running on an IBM Series 1. And they've got a 99.99% uptime.
Yep.
Which an IBM Series 1 would. You get a new Windows machine, it won't.
It won't.
So you don't want the computer running your nuclear missiles to get a virus and accidentally launch.
Right.
So maybe there is a reason to keep running those ancient computers.
Yeah, there's no question. And in fact...
it is stated for a replacement, but not for 3 more years.
our friend Scott from Buffalo actually put a thing in Facebook and said, I wonder what operating system they're running. So, of course, I had to go look it up.
Yep.
They're running CentOS Linux, which is Red Hat's free version, extremely stable and dang near bulletproof. So that's good. Anyway, our poll of the week at soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is... Have you been caught by an unexpected Windows 10 install? And your choices are, yes, but I'm getting used to it. Yes, and I immediately rolled it back. Nope, but I'm expecting one any day now. And you Windows users are so funny. So far, we've got 17 votes, and you Windows users are so funny, about 60% of the votes. Followed by, yes, I immediately rolled it back. Yeah, and I know you'll have more to say, a lot more to say. So if you scroll down on the right, you will see under Fascinating Stuff, the first link is the forums. And if you go to that, the second forum down is the poll discussion. Right now, the first item in the poll discussion is 28 May 16. Have you been caught by an unexpected Windows 10 install? So far, we've got 4 posts, but we would love to have you join in there. And of course, you can join us by giving us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll-free at 1-800-790-0415. And we should talk about Never 10. One of the people in the forum was talking about Never 10. And what that is a program from a company called Gibson Research Corporation, GRC.com. Steve Gibson is a legendary figure in the computer world, and has written a whole bunch of things, including SpinRite and a bunch of other stuff. And he's put together a program called Never 10, which actually all it really does is edit your registry and put into it the specific hack that Microsoft says you should put in,
right,
in order to prevent yourself from getting Windows 10. Also, if Microsoft has already downloaded Windows 10 to your system, it erases the files. Now,
which might clear up 5 or 6 gigs on your hard drive.
Exactly. Now, the problem with that, of course, is that Microsoft can, at any time they want, ignore their own registry entry. So there is no guarantee that Never 10 is actually never. But I believe once...
It's pretty close.
Yeah, yeah. I believe once July 29th rolls around and people have to start paying for Windows 10, that the nagging will stop, because I don't think even Microsoft can get away with forcing you to pay them to upgrade.
Well, I can see you've been upgraded to Windows 10. Please enter your credit card number.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think people will sue. I think at some point... Yeah. Some lawyer somewhere has got to say, you know what? Maybe not the best idea we've ever had.
Yeah.
Hey, they're going to run it up to, you know, the flagpole, see if it flies.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's easier to ask forgiveness than it is permission.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Thank you, Grace Hopper.
Yeah.
but yeah, so Windows, rather Never 10, may in fact work, but Microsoft created the registry. They can ignore whatever they put in it easily enough. Anybody can. Anybody can write a program that ignores the registry. So there's no promise. Also, of course, Never 10 only works on Windows 7 and 8.1. So for your buddy running Windows XP and probably dang proud of it.
And, well, he wasn't getting nagged anyway.
Yeah.
right. He has nothing to worry about anyway, yeah. But he can't run this anyway. So the reality is that if you're going to continue to run Windows, you have two choices. You can run a completely unsecured, unupgradable, unsupported version of Windows, or you can upgrade to Windows 10. And that's the way that works. So Microsoft did roll up their final Windows 7 update. And so that's done. And it's Windows 10 now or nothing. But, of course, your friend running Windows XP has not been running a supported version of Windows
for
a decade. So
that's got more holes in it than Swiss cheese, right. But he mainly wants it for his games.
That Windows 7 roll-up was amazing. We've been wanting that, but never expected Microsoft to do it.
Right.
So if you install a fresh Windows 7 machine, you've got 150 updates to run.
Right.
The problem is Windows Update has to be updated before you can update
Windows. Updates.
Right.
Update the updater.
So if you try to run Windows Update first, it won't work right, and then you can't update. So
right.
It's really great that they've put out this roll-up patch. They didn't call it Service Pack 2 or 3 or whatever it would have been. It's just a roll-up of all of the patches that they've released.
Yeah. And we'll see what the next big update is going to be, the anniversary update for Windows 10. And then I'm not entirely sure what happens after that in terms of upgrading to, well, we know the next step is you will pay for Windows 10.
Yeah, I mean, that's
$120 for the home version, $200 for the pro version.
And let's just get this clear for folks out there. Unless you are on a network, in other words, a corporate network where you've got a server and you're tying into that and got to have rights in that, you can do fine with just the home version. You do not need the pro. The pro version just includes the capabilities of you being able to tie into a corporate server, get shares and everything else.
Right, right. And from Microsoft's point of view, that's worth $90.
Well, but a lot of folks say, well, oh, if home is this, pro's got to be better. No. The only features it has is for the network.
Yeah, it's better, but you don't need any of those features.
Right. You're paying for something you don't really need.
Right.
The home version is more than adequate, and you get the 64-bit version.
Right. Mainstream support is still about a year and a half for Windows 8 and about 4 years for Windows 10. Every other version of Windows has ended mainstream support. So if you're on the line, stay on the line. We'll be with you in just a minute. If you're not on the line, give us a call. We'll be back with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 19 minutes after the hour. It's Sound Bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 23 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites, and we have Rich from Miranda Coit on the line. Hi, Rich. What's up?
Hello, guys. Happy Memorial Day weekend.
You too.
And that Windows 10, do you want it thing on a computer that you can't put it on is very annoying.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. They don't care. They don't. You would think, well, you would think.
It'll run in 2 gigs of RAM. You won't like it very much, but it'll
right,
run.
Right. Yeah. But more importantly, the idea is you would think they would check to see if your hardware supports Windows 10.
Right.
Before they give you that notice. But no.
Yeah. Anyway, on to my question. Problem at work with a machine that's running Windows 7 and trying to we loaded a program on that reads our defibrillation units and gives you the history of using that unit. I think is part of the problem. This is coming from my IT guy at work. And trying to start the basic filtering engine, and when he tries to start that, he gets a error service message that says, Windows cannot start this basic filtering engine service on local computer, error number 5, access denied. And that service won't run.
It sounds like a permission error. Is he running as administrator?
He is the administrator, signs in as the administrator. I don't know if this has something to do with it also, but he was also mentioning that it'll show sometimes that computer's on the network on another machine, but won't show that it's on the network on that specific machine, on the one he's using.
Well, what it sounds like is... Okay, okay, you're definitely running an administrator.
Correct.
This is clearly some sort of permissions problem. And if you have a, oh boy.
Do you know what the basic filtering engine is?
I don't. But it sounds like that's actually part of the program itself. So does this run fine on another machine?
No. We've kind of switched over to Windows 10 on some of the other machines, and this was the machine we had to load it on because they don't have a version that works with Windows 10.
Yeah, do they have a version that doesn't work on 10, or...?
Yeah, the Philips is the HeartStart manufacturer of the defib unit, and they don't have a version that works on Windows 10.
Yeah, but the question I have is, does it not work, or is it just not supported on Windows 10?
I believe it's not supported on Windows 10 yet.
Right. So you could put it on a Windows 10 machine and see if it works.
I guess. Yeah. The guy who sold it to us said that there wasn't a version yet for 10, but he wasn't, he didn't say, don't put it on anything like that. He just said that he didn't think it would work on 10 yet because they didn't have a version out that was compatible with 10.
Right.
So it looks like the basic filtering service is part of the firewall.
Yeah. So... what you might need to do is turn off your firewall.
Okay.
I would start there.
And is this computer running Windows 7 or Windows Server?
One or the other. I'm not really totally sure. I think it's Server, maybe.
Yeah, I found an article from Microsoft on problems with this base filtering engine.
It might be Server. That sounds a little bit more real, or I've heard of him talking of that before.
Yeah, all right. If it's Windows Server, Steve is going to post a link. If it's Windows 7, try turning off the firewall. Of course, that's not something you want to do often.
Right.
Or rather long term.
Well, unless he's got his own firewall.
Off, right. If you disconnect from the network, pull the network cord out of the back, disconnect the network cord.
Sometimes, now I don't know if this is part of the problem or not, but he also said that he has been having problems getting this specific laptop computer on the network.
The thing of it is, though, is
it might be a firewall problem there as
but
well.
But if his computer is using a firewall and he's already got a built-in firewall in the router,
Yes, I'm almost sure there is.
Well, yeah, and that's up to his system administrator to tell him.
Yeah, but you don't need a double one.
Right, you don't need a double one, but, well, you do. Well, here's the problem.
Because
he's in a large organization,
and
if somebody
outbound traffic, too.
Right, if somebody inside the network gets infected or brings their own device in that's infected, it can hit the network without ever hitting the router.
Right.
So, at any rate, without hitting that specific router, the outward-facing router. So, my suggestion would be start with, if this is Windows 7, just turn off the firewall while you're accessing this device.
Okay.
And if that doesn't work, then read the article that Steve is, or if it's Windows Server, read the article that Steve is posting.
There's a thought. Does the defib machine need to contact the internet to publish its results back to the...
That's one thing I don't know. I would think it wouldn't because we're not sending it, like, to somebody else.
Yeah, to a doctor
or hospital.
It's
just something that we're using to keep the information, the record, for us.
Right. Also, make sure, talk to your IT people and have them check the firewall configuration on that Windows 7 machine and in their firewall back at the server end, because there may be something messed up in there as well.
Okay. Well, at least you give me some places to start. That's a good thing.
Yeah, you're farther ahead than you were, I guess.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Well, that's great. Thanks. Have a great weekend and stay out of the hot sun.
Yeah, you too.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, a lot of the medical devices now are connecting to the LAN so they can report, like, to a nurse's station or something. But I have seen too many times where the medical instruments are connected to the public internet. You know, they're either plugged into the wrong jack or they're connected to the wrong Wi-Fi. We were in a hospital last summer with a friend, and I just did a network scan. Because I do.
Exactly.
And hundreds of medical devices showed up on the public hospital internet that I was connected to, and thousands of iPads. It was ridiculous how many devices were popping up. But, Apple devices, Samsung, we tell the difference between the iPhones and the Android phones by the brand name. Yep. But then there were things that said X-ray machine and other things that, said diagnostic. And they're on the public-facing Wi-Fi internet.
And anybody who understands the HIPAA laws knows how bad that is.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
All right, back to the phones. Our next call. Well, and HIPAA laws, I have to laugh because, you'll go to a doctor's office and somebody will say, Mr. Jones, your prescription for that rash is ready. No.
Yep.
You're not supposed to scream that information out.
This is a Monty Python sketch from the 70s. Yeah. Cleese is a pharmacist. All right, who's got the clap? And here's your medicine. Who's got the boil on the bum? Here's your medicine.
Yep. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Larry from Rochester, New York. Hi, Larry. What's up?
Good afternoon, guys. You have me laughing with that.
Thank you.
Simple question. I called in some time ago asking about Microsoft 365, and since my wife prefers to use Microsoft products, I think I'm going to go ahead and get it. My question is, I use a Mac. She uses a PC. We're going to get the Microsoft Home 365, and I guess relatively simple question, since I don't trust Microsoft's people, is will it run across platforms? And I will listen offline. Thanks.
All right. One of you, you're on Macs and your wife is on Windows.
And he wants a happy house.
Yeah.
And he wants a happy household.
Wise man. Very wise man.
Yep. If mom ain't happy, ain't nobody happy.
Happy wife, happy life.
Exactly. Now, Office 365 is available for both platforms, but they're two separate purchases, right?
Right. So you it's a single purchase, so it's $99 a year. But that gives you licensing rights for Mac and Windows versions of Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and OneNote. You can put it on five Windows machines or five Macs and five tablets and five phones. So in essence, you can put it on 15 devices for $100 a year. So it's weird. It's five Macs or five PCs or a mix of both. So, one PC, three Macs. But then you can do five tablets and five phones. So you would download 2016 for Actually, both now that they've got 2016 out for both. They've unified the Microsoft Office for Mac and Windows. That used to be a year difference between them. The one thing on Office for Mac, Office 2016 does require Mac OS 10.10, and Office 2016 for Windows does require Windows 7. So if you are running older versions of either OS, you'll have to upgrade your OS first.
Right. You and, also get some storage.
OneDrive, you get some.
But less than you used to.
1 terabyte of storage each for 5 users. Wow.
That might be old. I know that they've lowered what they're... But maybe if you're paying for it, you get it. Yeah.
I'm on their
It's the free one that they lowered, yeah.
And you also get 60 minutes a month for Skype calls. So you can make Skype calls to physical telephones. So Skype to Skype is free, but if you want to go Skype to a telephone, a real telephone,
right.
Then you had to pay. And so they give you 60 minutes a month as part of that Office subscription as well.
And, of course, they updated and all of that stuff. So
yeah, so if a new version comes out, you get it for free automatically.
Right. So, yeah, it sounds like a plan. If you're going to be using Office, that's clearly the way to go for multiple computers in one household. And it's nice to at least have it on your tablet and your phone, not that you'll ever actually use it. But if you've got the space on your tablet and phone.
If you need to view a file or
to view
show off
more
a presentation.
Than to write, yeah. Very few people are going to be writing Excel spreadsheets on their...
5-inch phone.
On the 5-inch phone, but but you might want to view a spreadsheet or a
on your 10-inch tablet.
On your 10-inch tablet, exactly.
Yeah.
If you're a Microsoft Office user and you've got multiple machines, that $100 a year is not particularly painful.
Yeah. And the bless them for giving a discount, but they have a personal edition for $70 a year that lets you put it on one computer.
Right.
Or $100 a year that lets you put it on 5 computers. So, husband and wife.
Right.
You might as well get the 5. It's cheaper that way.
Right. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Bob from Rochester, New York. Hiya, Bob. What's up?
Hi, Nick. If you would you please clarify for me exactly what you speak of when you speak about mainstream support for Windows 7? Does that mean calling them and calling Microsoft and asking a question or submitting a help ticket on their website? Because they seem to still be publishing security updates.
Yeah,
and my question is basically, does that make it safe for me to use Windows 7 until 2020? Yeah, 2020.
They are still sending out, how do they put it? Hold on, give me a second here. There's a chart. They are still sending out, it's just security updates. So here's the deal. Mainstream support means you get design changes, product changes, security updates, non-security updates, support with paid licenses.
Regular bug fixes.
Regular bug fixes, hardware warranty claims, all of that stuff. Yeah? If you are in extended support phase and you are not paying them, all you get are security updates.
Well, if my system works to my liking...
Yeah.
Why not stay put? It's a major effort to for me to change an operating system. I've kind of got things fixed up the way it's working, and I haven't had any issues for quite a while. My plan was wait till the system breaks and change then, or wait till 2020 and change then.
Right. The other thing you need to be aware of, just so you're aware. The free support, the online support,
yeah,
slowly goes away.
Yeah. Well, you mean from Microsoft?
From Microsoft and kind of from everybody, because if we can't go, because we don't, this may come as a shock to you, but I don't have every little thing about Windows 7 memorized.
Yeah.
I go to the website.
I've been using Windows products since 1990 at least. That was when I remember I was at a Blue Jays game in Toronto, and I was shocked to see them advertising Windows 3 on the big screen there, the big billboard, scoreboard. And I was shocked that this product is being advertised to the general public in this way. So I've been using it for at least that long. I've never gone to Microsoft, either by phone call or necessarily to their website for help. I just, you know, with search engines, the answer mm-hmm. to everything is pretty much available to me. So,
and many of those will link to the Microsoft Knowledge Base article that to give you the answer, and those will be taken away.
Those will be taken away. Yeah. So,
which doesn't make any sense. It's just a hard drive.
But you have to also understand extended support is not offered for consumer software.
Yeah.
So you can't call at this point. If you call Microsoft and say, "I've got Office running on Windows 7," they're going to hang up.
Yeah, but I've never done that.
Well, you or anybody. I mean, if you have a problem, nobody can help you.
Yeah. All righty. Just tell me I'm not crazy to stay put until 2020.
I'm not going to tell you that because
right. I'm afraid of that.
I'm not going to tell you that because as time goes on. Your machine. The other thing is, as new products come out, their drivers will not support Windows 7.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to have to decide. This is tough. I understand that.
We got to take a break.
Okay,
I'm sorry, Bob. We're going to take a break back in just a couple of minutes with Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Jay Venright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And in 44 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Will from Rochester, New York on the line. Welcome, Will. Talk to me.
Well, I've got to chide you again when you keep saying there's no other alternates between Microsoft and blum blum. Why do you have to ignore Ubuntu, Fedora, and all those other real good things?
I never ignore those. I run Ubuntu.
Oh, you just go through and just say that there are only two choices. Well, there's a third choice.
No, for the people who want to remain with Windows, their only choice is to go to Windows 10. If you don't want Windows anymore, and we say this all the time, you have the choice of Ubuntu, you can buy a Mac, you can buy a Chromebook, there's a million other choices.
Neverware on your current PC.
Neverware on your current PC. There's bunches of other choices, absolutely. But for the people who insist on staying with Windows, like Bob, he wants to stay with Windows 7 until 2020. Clearly, he's a Windows guy. Larry, his wife is a Windows person. She wants to have Microsoft Office on her PC.
And
the
he's
only
a
way
Mac.
She's going to do that is she's going to have a Windows PC. So for those people, I will, you know, there comes a point where you can't really convert people against their will.
Yeah.
Against their will, yeah.
Right. So when somebody says, can I stay with Windows 7 till 2020? I'm not going to say what you really want to do is go to Ubuntu because they're not listening to that. They don't care about that.
And they might not want to go, you know, change operating system.
The whole reason they don't want to change is because they don't like change.
Even to a newer version of Windows, which is 90% the same.
Right. So I can't, you know, I've given up that battle. You can't force people to change their religion. I think we discovered that during the Crusades.
For the first 20 years, our show was telling you there is an alternative to Windows.
right. And yes,
you don't have to run Windows. You don't have to run Office, but the majority of people are.
If that's what you insist on running, then
that's what you're used to.
Then I will help you by reminding you you can't run 7 anymore.
Brando?
All right.
Well, you can have a Ford, you can have a Chevy, and those are your only choices. Oh, wait, there are other choices, but we won't tell you about them.
But if you're a Ford guy, you're never going to buy a Chevy. It doesn't matter how much better someone tells you the Chevy is.
And okay, Will, let me say this to everybody so that Will will be happy. You're an idiot if you're still running Windows. You should be running Ubuntu. Stop being a jerk. Happy now, Will? I don't know any other way to put that. Yeah. If people want to run Windows, they're going to run Windows, and I will help them do that. If they don't want to run Windows, then I will help them not run Windows, but I can't force them to stop running Windows.
Yeah, exactly.
You can mention other religions, too.
Exactly. Thank you.
Yep.
Goodbye.
I'm running BSD. Is that okay?
It's right. Now we get into which... BSD is not Linux, it's Unix.
Yes, so that's better than Linux. It was first. But it's BSD, not FreeBSD.
But you know what?
And, right.
No, no, actually,
and
Mach, no, it probably
is. Is actually a Unix kernel,
yeah,
not a Linux kernel.
And I'm sorry, if Will knew, the rest of our listeners out there, they know from time to time we are always preaching that there are other alternatives. Yep.
I tell people all the time, if you want to run a good, clean, fast, easy-to-use operating system, run Ubuntu.
Yeah. And this is the thing. Unless you're living under a rock, everybody's using computers nowadays.
Right.
Whether it's on a tablet, on their phones, you know, or on their desktops. Yep.
Right.
There are other alternatives. But most people drink
Linux,
the Kool-Aid for one brand.
Right.
And that's what they want to hear. Mm-hmm. And that's all. They think right. Everybody should be going to that.
And what's interesting is Linux may not have become mainstream, but Chromebooks are.
Chromebooks yeah. certainly are.
Which
and,
is based
and,
on.
And for 90% yeah. of people, Chromebooks are
yeah.
more than what they need.
You go to the big yeah. box stores, they've got Windows, they've got Macs, they've got Chrome.
Well, we had an argument in the Soundbites forum. I can't have a Chromebook because I use Scrivener. Okay. Then don't get Chromebook.
Yeah.
I don't know how much easier I can say that.
Again, yeah. this week I talked another person was talking to them because their laptop died.
Right.
They go, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, I said, well, wait a minute. I went up, got my Chromebook, came down. I said, so what do you do? And he explained it, and everything again, from the internet. He goes, yeah, but once in a while I want to do a document. Yeah, so?
Yep.
I pulled up Google Docs.
Yep.
Well, what about a spreadsheet? Thought he had me there. Here you go.
Yeah.
He goes, then why do I have to buy Windows? I go, nobody said you had to buy Windows.
Nobody
just buy a Chromebook.
Bill Gates did. Yeah.
Well, and the other thing is, you know, these folks are into Scrivener, and it does what they want it to do, and it does it well, and there's no online version, so go ahead and use it. I use Scrivener. I loved Scrivener. On the other hand, when I got my Chromebook, I discovered I could use Google Docs. I tried a half a dozen others, but I kept coming back to Google Docs.
Okay, hold on.
And I can use that just fine, and I've written 3 books on it so far and working on others. So it certainly does the job for me, and it might not do the job for you because you work differently from the way I do. And that's fine. That's fine. As I keep telling people, if you want to argue religion, whether it's the classic definition of religion or which version of an operating system or which version of Ubuntu,
yeah.
is it Kubuntu? Ubuntu, Lubuntu, Xubuntu. The only way I will argue those with you is if you come to my house, because I ain't going to you, and you bring the beer, because you're paying for the discussion.
Yeah,
that's how that works.
My dad converted so many Jehovah's Witnesses when they came to our door. My dad brought his Bible out and converted them.
I used to do that. I would bring out, in the summer, they would come to my house. I would bring out a pitcher of lemonade and my Bible, and we would sit and argue for hours. Not too shockingly, by the end of the summer, they stopped coming to my home.
Can't understand that one.
You were on the list.
I was on the list.
That house there, avoid. And you'd see these little kids going across the street.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Carl from Pottstown, PA. Hiya, Carl. What can we do for you?
Hey, how you doing today?
Peachy, how are you?
Oh, pretty good. I just had Windows 10 installed on my machine. In fact, I had a whole new hard drive put in because the hard drive died. And when they did that, they upgraded to Windows 10.
Uh-huh.
I was originally calling you because I was trying to stream Jazz 901 and kept coming up GrooveTube. And then I found your explanation to download VLC as a workaround for that problem.
Yep.
So now I changed my question. I also bought a new cell phone yesterday, a Samsung Galaxy J3, and I was looking at the version of Android it has on it. It has version 5.1, and I know that Android's up to 6.0, I think.
Yeah.
So is it possible to change the operating system, upgrade the operating system on this new cell phone to 6.0?
Not really, and here's why.
And what carrier did you get?
It's a Virgin Mobile.
That makes it worse.
Yeah, here's the deal. I actually have a story about this, which I probably won't actually get to. But here's the deal. The latest version of Android is 6.0, although 7.0 just came out. That has its own set of problems.
Did they go with Nougat?
Yeah, they haven't gone with anything yet. The idiots at Google actually put out a request for people to come up with a word for the N version. The M version was marshmallow. The L version was lollipop. So they asked people for an N word for the N version of Android.
Yeah.
As you can imagine, things did not go well. At any rate, that's going to be the newest version. It's out. It's actually just come out. The problem is not with Google. The problem is with the other two parts of the equation. There's Google, who makes the operating system. There's the manufacturer of the hardware, which installs the operating system. And then there's the OEM, which also screws around with the operating system before passing it to the manufacturer. So all three of those have to, the big dog is it has to be the last one to pee on the tree.
And then the carrier often adds a fourth layer.
Right. So you end up with people who are still back 1, 2, even 3 or 4 versions. There's a lot of machines are on 4.4 still. And what Microsoft can't, Google rather, can't fix that. Because they keep handing this off to people. So there's what they're doing is they're going to start publicly shaming them. They've created the Android Update Alliance. That didn't work. They've done everything else. That didn't work. The Stage Fright security vulnerability, Google fixed it. 90% of the carriers and manufacturers have not passed that on to the user. So what Google is doing is they are now putting out a list of all of the available handsets and carriers and which ones are upgraded and which ones are not, hoping they will finally shame the companies. First, educate the user that it's not Google's fault, and through that education, have them complain to their manufacturers and carriers as to why they are not on the latest version.
Yep.
The only phones that are definitely up to date are the ones that are branded Nexus.
From Google directly.
Those are updated directly by Google without anybody else touching it. So they get the purest Android experience and the latest Android experience.
One of the things that's also happened, maybe to push this from Google, is that the FTC and the FCC are both issuing requests for comments, and they've sent letters to the mobile carriers and the handset makers to say, why aren't you updating this stuff, and what is your update policy, and how long are you planning to keep updating older machines?
Right, because this is a security issue. In terms of the bad guys taking over people's phones,
especially Stage Fright, which affects 1 billion Android phones,
right.
1 billion with a B Android phones, right, can be affected by Stage Fright. And so, because the handset makers and especially the smaller carriers don't necessarily update the OSs ever, if at all, sometimes it's 6 months or a year later,
right,
that there are so many potentially vulnerable handsets. So we could see either an FCC or FTC or even both issuing regulations requiring carriers and handset makers to update their phones for X number of years.
Now, the other issue with that, of course, is that if you've got an older phone, it's just like Windows. If you've got an older phone with lower hardware specs, then you're going to have a less good experience when it does update. Right, but the reality is that really, if you should be updated. If you're looking at a phone that only has 5 on it, you're now 1.5 back, because 7 isn't really out yet. But you're 1.5 back. You're about to be 2 back, 2 versions back, and no guarantee that there will ever be an upgrade.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. My next phone's going to be a Nexus phone. I can't not have one. I don't want to be back. I'm on 5 myself right now.
Unfortunately, most of the Nexus phones will run on any carrier. So a lot of times the handset makers will make a specific handset for Verizon and a completely different handset for AT&T. And then now Android has to be updated, and the carriers have to do their patches for each phone separately.
Right.
So then if somebody were to buy a Nexus phone directly from Google, would that be usable by any carrier?
Well, check it, but generally speaking, yes.
Especially since with LTE, all the carriers picked the same LTE, just about.
Yeah.
The problem we had before is that half the carriers used one standard and the other half used another standard, so that's why you couldn't switch carriers easily. Now with LTE, everyone's using the same LTE.
So when you see 4G LTE... That's the same 4G LTE across all carriers.
Now, is LTE, what's the difference between LTE and GSM?
GSM is the old standard, global service for mobile communications. That was AT&T and T-Mobile. And then Verizon and Sprint used a different standard, CDMA. I never remember that acronym. And so GSM was more popular in the rest of the world, you know, hence it was global. CDMA was mostly the U.S. So a lot of issues people would run into is when if you ever travel to Europe, your phone doesn't work because you're CDMA. So the carriers and handset makers basically all got together, and then when LTE was being defined, they all decided to use the same LTE for both, which was a little interesting because it's not in AT&T's best interest to let you switch to another carrier.
Right.
So they finally did something good for the consumers, so that that pretty much any phone can run on pretty much any carrier. Now the carrier can still lock you by contract, but they can't lock you by hardware now.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you for the answer. It's very interesting.
Yep. All right. Thanks. All right. We're going to take another break, slightly longer break. You've wasted an hour of your life with this nonsense, but we'll be back for yet another hour of this same nonsense. And, of course, give us a call, 585-966-5299, 1-800-790-0415. And we'll be back with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 59 minutes after the hour. It's Sound Bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
This is 90.1 WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District and official media partner of this year's Xerox Rochester International Jazz Festival. Jazz 90.1.
Online at jazz901.org.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we are hurtling headlong into the second half of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. It's Sound Bites.
Yeah. What? You know, even though this is Memorial Day,
yeah,
and I don't like to rush things,
yeah,
we're coming up on how many years now?
It's going to be 27.
We complete 27, right?
Yeah. We've been on the air for 26 years, 8 months, and 25 days.
So, I mean, summer just blows. You know, June, July, August, we're gone.
Yep.
Those months just seem to go by so fast. It's like, where's the summer?
Yeah, in September, it'll be 27 years on the air. Yep. Start of our 28th year.
And now every weekend is swamped and busy. The Rocket Show is this weekend at Geneseo, right, at the National War Point Museum. So we have been planning to go as a family now. So now, Friday, my son gets invited to go camping with a friend. So he's not here. So why don't you come to the Rocket Show? You can bring him back to, maybe we'll see. And then a friend of my wife's friend's mother passed. And the funeral's tomorrow. So Shirley's going to that. So now I've got to decide if I go myself. Probably. And then Monday is the holiday, and that's when all the really big rockets usually go off.
Right.
We got a full-scale Patriot is coming. It's 200 pounds.
Nice.
Nike smoke. There's a lot of replica missiles, the Nike, the Hercules, the Honest John, the Ajax. They all have rocket equivalents. Some of them will go 10,000 feet. then you have to track them down with a GPS. Some of them will go 1,000 feet and land in the cornfield next to you. So that,
you're right.
So you don't have to walk too far. So that, yeah, there's a couple of guys that launch really big rockets that only go up 1,000 feet or so, so they don't have to walk very far.
Hey.
Low, slow, yeah, low, slow, and glorious.
They all do the same. Go up, come down.
Yep. Now, we're doing little this week. My daughter goes back tomorrow, sadly. So we have an evening planned with her, and then tomorrow we take her to the airport. And I get my car back, so that'll be exciting. I actually got to drive it today to get here, so that was nice.
Whoa.
She was very generous, gave me back my keys, literally. Gave me back my car keys.
Very nice of her.
Very nice of her, I thought, yes. All right, to the phone. We have somebody waiting on the line, and we're fooling around here. Our next caller is Gary from Greece, New York. Hi, Gary, what's up?
Hi, guys. I just wanted to make a comment about last week's show and something that happened to me in the past week, and a thank you. You had a guest on last week that talked about Time Warner and the ability to get your rates changed.
Yeah.
Yep.
So my bill, I get the internet, a landline, and my cable TV. No premiums, but it was $210 a month.
Yep.
So I called them, and I said, look at this, and just... You know, I want to cancel. I'm thinking going to Dish or just killing my TV. They put me on the phone with a woman, and we got it down to 171.
There you go.
Well, it gets better. She told me my modem needed to be updated, and that if I wanted to drop it off at one of their stores, I could. So I drove down to Mount Hope. I talked to one of the techs there. You know, explained the same thing. I told them, 171 is still too high. Dropped it down to 161. So with about 20 minutes worth of work, I'm saving $48 a month.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. Well done, you.
Yeah. So thanks for having that.
Yeah, that's Phil Dampier. He runs a website called Stop the Cap at stopthecap.com. And he's been helping people with this sort of stuff for decades.
And all I can say on that note, too, is just remember us at pledge time.
Well, you know, it's funny you mention that because I plan on sending a portion of that as a thank you.
No, that's what we want to hear. Thank you.
You know, and that's very gracious of you. But when folks, when it comes to pledge time and that we are begging, it's helpful hints like that you're pointing out. And we'll use you as an example. I mean, if you don't mind, but, because it's, through that we try to help folks. That's what we've been doing now coming up for 2020.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. We will, Gary. Appreciate it. Phil was on last week talking about the
Providing
Time Warner
a great
merger.
Yeah.
We got our letter from the new company now.
Yes.
It's the name just lost. So we were joking last week it's going to be Charter Bright House or Time Bright Charter.
Charter.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah.
And so they apparently came up with a new name and are sending letters out. It's going to be exciting. And we're saying, okay, let's hope so.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exciting is not necessarily good. It's a Chinese curse. May you live in exciting times.
Yeah.
Exciting is not what I want out of my phone company or my cable company. Our next caller is Steve from Greece, New York. Hiya, Steve. What's up?
Oh, Nick. Good afternoon, guys. I called last week about the task manager not having a shutdown option.
Right.
And there's nothing you can do about it. The reason I ask is a friend of mine was working on a project, went in the kitchen, spent some time, came back, was in the middle of a Windows 10 upgrade.
Yep.
But what's happened after the upgrade, the start button doesn't do anything. So you press it, it does nothing. So she can't even shut down her computer. She has to use the power button to shut down.
She can if there's another way to shut down, which I thought about last week. I went and tested it on my Windows 10 machine. All from the desktop, Alt F4 brings up the shutdown, restart, whatever menu.
Okay.
And you should also be able to hit the Windows key on the keyboard to have the start menu come up.
Right.
Okay. I hadn't thought of the Windows key. Is there... What do you have any ideas of how to get that button to actually work? I mean, she can't get the settings. She can't get to anything because the button does nothing.
How long does she wait? I'm wondering because one of the things in Windows.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so one of the things in Windows 10 is the start menu now has the tiles in it. And maybe it's taking longer than expected for the tiles to be right. able to render the start menu.
This could also be related to a problem with Cortana. So here's what I need you to try. At the keyboard, hold down the Windows key and press R for run. When you get that prompt, enter MS-settings. I think it's MS-settings colon, I think. And then press OK. That will open the settings menu, the settings thing. And from there, you select update and security, then Windows update, and then check for updates. And then apply some updates, because there were some issues and there were updates to fix those issues. So do that first. And of course, that'll ask you to restart the device and blah, 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 blah. There is a start menu troubleshooter as well, actually. And that can be downloaded from Microsoft. We'll put a link up to that in a few minutes. And you can try that, and if none of that works, try creating a new local administrator account.
Okay.
Because there may have been a problem upgrading your registry.
I know a number of friends who've updated, and nobody's had problems like this.
You're lucky.
Yeah, there have been a number of them, but not a lot.
It's not my computer that I'm trying to fix it for, I couldn't find anything online to help with that. All right, you give me a lot of things to do. Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, good luck.
Thanks. I think I'll need it.
Yeah.
Good luck. Not have the bad luck you're having.
It's the optimism that he has that I'm very excited about. We have an interesting issue. There are a number of people who have these problems, and really,
but out of the sheer mass of Windows 10 installs, there aren't percentage-wise that many problems. So
right, exactly.
It's unfortunate when you happen to be one of them.
Exactly.
But the other million people next to you didn't have that problem. That's why we're here. We'll help you.
Right.
Excuse me.
You all right?
Yeah, really?
All right. We'll go back to the phones while you're doing that.
Coughing up a lung.
Our next caller is Bob from Henrietta, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's up?
Well, you can always use a shutdown command from the command line.
Well, if you can get to the command line. Again, if you can't get to the start menu and you don't have it set up on your button bar, you can't get to the command line either.
Well, you don't even have to do that. I run a more powerful computer from my living room over the network, remote desktop. You can't shut down from a remote desktop, so I just made me a little batch file, shutdown, -R, -T, 15 seconds. That's how I reboot it by remote.
Yep.
Makes sense to me. Thanks.
Good luck.
Thanks, Bob. If you're enough of a power user, then that's a good alternative, actually. But you will need to be a bit of a power user in order to do that. I have to say that. But it is an excellent idea. So thanks very much, Bob, for that.
So it looks like the name of the new cable company is Spectrum, the merger of Time Warner, Bright House, and Charter. And they have an FAQ on their website. Will my price go up? Not at this time. Well, that was one of the concessions that Phil got. Prices won't go up, but speeds will. We won't have a cap. And so if you are a Time Warner customer, you'll probably have already started getting the notices from Spectrum. For the time being, the TWC.com website will still keep working. You'll start getting Spectrum branded TV, internet, and voice offerings soon, apparently. So it's again, we're waiting to see what's gonna happen and how everything's gonna shake out. they're pretty quick on this on these press releases. You know, it was only what 2 weeks ago when was officially approved by the California Public Commission and the New York Public Services Commission. Bless you.
Thank you. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Pat. Where are you calling from, Pat?
From Batavia.
Batavia, New York.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
As I was transferring him, something happened, and all of a sudden he went off to some other somebody else's line. I'm like, it pops up on the screen.
Yep. Well, I don't know why those people weren't working, because they didn't answer the phone.
Yeah, I know. I think it was the phone today. I think I sent you to the history department.
Questions, and then Nick, I got some news you're going to like to hear.
Okay.
First, I have a document, it's an Adobe document, and what the issue here is that it's a bylaws, and it's quite a few pages, and they said the changes in the bylaws are in red. So, if you have a long document with the only differences, the changes are in red, is there any way to do a search through an Adobe? I've got the Adobe Acrobat to see that kind. I know you can find words, but is there a way to search for a change in color?
That's a lovely question. Can you do that in search results? I have never seen it done, no.
Okay.
If anybody out there has done that, please let us know. I know you can change them, but can you search for them?
But you see my point is it's like 100
absolutely.
Pages, and there's changes, and they are in red, which is great for a one-page document. Not so great for 100 pages.
Right. No, I see what you're saying, and okay. I completely understand it. I just don't think it's doable. I really don't.
There is a properties bar to get to the text color.
Right, but that doesn't let you search for it.
But how do you search by color?
Right, I don't think you do. Anyway, what's your next question?
Okay, my next question, so we'll chalk that up to a definite maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, my next question is kind of relates to a TV show, but that is really actual my real-life experience. Did any of you see Modern Family, where Manny was trying to teach Jay how to double-click on his iPad?
No.
No, I didn't, but go ahead.
You've probably all had this experience where you have a person and they say, just double-click, and they click, and they say it doesn't work. And have you or not? I'm getting too much silence here.
No, go ahead.
I happened with my wife. And it happened on TV, so I'm thinking everybody you talk to just does double-click real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the computers, you can set your double-click speed. If you double-click really fast or you double-click really slow. But I don't think you can set that on the,
Most tablets.
So I guess what I was looking for is something I probably won't find, which was a tip for helping people do it. I guess if you don't do it, it's kind of like the joke that doesn't make any sense.
Tap faster.
But many people, they click, and you say, no, double click, and I clicked it. I even did it on the back of her hand, and it took two sessions because I didn't want World War II, so the next day I said I tried a different way.
Have you ever
had anybody have that problem?
We've had that problem.
Listen, hang on, we got to take a break, but stay on the line. Got to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Mina Francesco, Pat from Batavia, and you, 20 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we still have Pat from Batavia on the line. Pat, you still there?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Okay, so what's up?
Well, I see that this Thursday is going to be the first Thursday of the month. Are you still planning to be at the St. John's Meadows?
Yep, Rochester Googles happens the first Thursday of every month at St. John's Meadows, and we'd love to have everybody come and join us. We talk about all things Google. We'll probably be talking about some of the latest developments, and the guys had some idea about things to talk about this time around, which is, of course, right at the moment I don't remember, but we will be there. It starts at 7, goes to 9, and it's generally a real good time. We have a lot of fun.
Okay, this is early enough. I don't have a calendar, of course, as we discussed previously.
Right.
And I still don't. But I remember some things. But here's the good news for you. This is going to make your day.
Okay.
I decided to back up the data on my computer.
Holy moly. Pat, well, I'm
let me tell you why I hesitated before. It's because I actually had an external hard drive, 500 gigabyte, and I did a backup. But what I didn't realize is that it didn't back up all my files. It backed up documents and certain things that Microsoft believes you should where you should put your data.
Right.
And so when I went to look at it after doing all this work, I was very disappointed to see that most of my stuff wasn't there, and it just kind of soured me. Then I discovered there's an option where you could select what data you wanted instead of just taking the automatic. And as soon as I did that, all of my files showed up, and I said, yes, this is what I want. So
there
I went ahead and did it.
Good for you.
So anyway, I just thought you'd enjoy that. So
thanks, Pat.
Thanks for
appreciate
all your help, and we'll probably see you on Thursday.
Yeah, you hope so. Thanks.
Okay,
yeah.
Take care.
So by default, Windows Backup only does the files in your My Documents.
Right.
So if you keep files in other places, say at the root of the hard drive, it doesn't get backed up there. It's only in My Documents.
Right.
We had a customer a couple of weeks ago mad that she couldn't find her documents after she copied them to the Mac because they weren't in My Documents. And so when they came to the Mac, if they're in My Documents, they go into My Documents on the Mac.
Right.
And they weren't there because she didn't keep them there because she didn't want... She put it weird. She didn't want to use Microsoft's simple things.
Right.
Well, it's easy to put your documents in the documents folder.
Yeah, right. All right. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Mark from Greece, New York. Welcome, Mark. What's up?
Hi. I called you a couple weeks ago, and I mentioned to you I had taken the plunge and updated to Windows 10, and I mentioned to you that the start menu wouldn't work, and that when I went to the notifications, they wouldn't open. None of that would open. And there is some information on the internet. Where I found the easiest and quickest information was on YouTube.
Oh. Yeah.
There's a process where you go to PowerShell and you enter in a command. I won't read it to you now. It's a long command, and you run this, and then when it's done, what it doesn't tell you is to restart the computer. But once you restart, they work again, and it did wonders for me, and it was fairly easy to find just Google searching Windows 10 start menu doesn't open.
So many people are putting up short little videos on YouTube for all kinds of things like that. It's really amazing.
So it worked great. And another thing that you can do to get your computer to restart is go into Control-Alt-Delete. And you have, a bunch of commands, and to the right side, at the very bottom of the screen, there's a shutdown button.
Yep.
And
well, that's what he was saying. Didn't
go there,
exist
restart, or turn off your computer.
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways to do exactly the same thing.
Yeah,
Windows
and that's
10.
Really a quick and simple way, because we're all used to doing Control-Alt-Delete.
Yep, excellent.
When you're running Windows, it's almost inevitable.
Perfect. Thanks, Mark.
Yep.
Yeah, there are a bunch of different ways to do it. I use the Alt F4, but Control-Alt-Delete is a familiar keystroke for a lot of people, and so why not, after all? So that makes a lot of sense. Very few people actually have this Windows bug, but it is a bug, and it seems to be related to Cortana as well. So that's a problem. So
she's kind of built into the start menu.
Right, right, right.
So it's,
go ahead.
I was saying, so being able to ask Cortana a question, she can look in the start menu and run applications. So that's kind of why they're all tied together.
Right, right, right. All right, back to the phones. I believe this is our friend Linda. No, it's a different Linda. Linda from Rochester, New York. Hi, Linda, what's up?
Hi, gentlemen. You guys are all absolutely terrific. Okay.
Thank you.
This is a simple question, except not for me at the moment. I'm trying to start up a computer I haven't used in a year, and I can't remember the password. The two emails that I know I used one of those emails, Microsoft doesn't seem to recognize it. I looked on the internet. There are all sorts of things to do. Is there a remote chance I could call Microsoft and say, listen, take my password off or something?
Nope.
No, there's zero chance.
Erase the computer and start over will be their answer.
Yeah.
Right. So do I do one of those complicated deals on the, that I saw one on YouTube where I download some program and blah, blah?
Yeah, that's pretty much your choice. Either you do it or you bring it to a reputable dealer, let them do it. But that's pretty much the choice at this point, and I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll keep you on your high pedestal, gentlemen, but I'm really hoping.
All right, keep trying other passwords.
We didn't write Windows, yeah. Linda. Don't blame us.
Wait a minute, Linda.
Keep trying other passwords that might be.
Linda?
Oh, I've tried because it's only one of three, and I've tried it every way to Sunday, but thank you.
All right, here's one thing, though. What version of Windows are you running?
8.1 or 8. I don't remember which one, but 8.
Eight or 8.1.
So it may be that the registry is corrupted and the password you're typing is right, but it can't compare it.
If you can get into safe mode, and I think to get in safe mode in Windows 8, you have to hold down the control key and hit F8. It'll get you in the safe mode. And
that might be it, because I'm pretty sure I have the right password.
Then you can get to the administrator account and change the other password.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I knew you'd know. Thank you.
Give that a shot. Yeah, I think it's either the control or shift key.
Well, no, I'm sorry. Shift and restart. So if you can't get into Windows at all, how do we get it before?
Safe mode. I think it's either control or shift key. And you hold those down, you keep hitting F8, you'll get the menu and it says safe mode. If you go into safe mode, you should be able to select the admin account and try that. Give it a shot.
Thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
You too.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah.
We're all about the solutions.
We're all about the solutions. It is hard to remember the various key combinations that keep on changing from hardware to hardware and software to software. So, but try that, and I think you'll find that that should do it, actually. The tough part is when it won't boot. You know, that's harder to fix all the way around. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Bob from Rush, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's up?
Oh, hi. I've got a router question.
Yeah.
I've got an older router. I've had it for probably about 8 years. It's a Netgear WNDR 3300. Now, I'm thinking 8 years is quite a long time, and before it goes belly up on me, I want to replace it with a new one. Do you have any suggestions? I've got, let's see, three computers on the network, and my television dish, and probably a couple smartphones that we use the network for. Do you have any suggestions for a quality router?
Well, first question is, are you connecting this to a cable modem network?
Actually, I am connected to DSL right now, but I'm thinking of switching to cable.
All right. Well, then what you need is a regular router, because I was going to suggest the DOCSIS 3 router modem wireless thing all together, but that doesn't work, of course, on DSL.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Yeah, I'd rather go separate.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a firm believer of the fact that, you know, if one thing goes, I don't want both to be.
Right. No, that's absolutely fair. Actually, I'm going shopping for one for my daughter this afternoon. Cisco is very good. Netgear is okay. Any one of them, you have a choice at this point among both whether or not it has wired as well as wireless, and you should certainly get one with at least a few wired ports in it, regular Ethernet ports.
Oh, okay. I guess that leads me to another question. Right now, I'm wired Ethernet with one computer. All the rest are everything's wireless.
Yeah.
Now, is that an absolute necessity to have at least one computer wired, or can all of my computers
No, they can all be wireless, but having one that's wired, don't forget, wired is faster.
Oh, right, right. Yeah, I understand that.
Right.
Yeah.
Also, when you do wireless, look for N, as in Nancy, as one of the choices for the frequency that they use.
Yeah, N is the older standard. And
okay.
AC is the current standard.
AC is the current.
I want to go with the state of the art.
Well, you need to check your laptops to make sure they do AC.
I'm going to buy a new laptop.
Okay.
Because I've got a real old one. running Vista.
Yep.
But I'm going to replace my laptop also at the same time.
Yeah.
All right. So get one that does AC and get a router that does AC as well.
The AC routers are backward compatible to N and G, and they have a feature called beamforming. So even if you still are running at N, they can basically tighten the beam, the radio wave, and point it right at your N machine. And even running N, you often get faster throughput with AC than you did with your old N router.
Okay, very good.
The one big thing is don't get too cheap.
I won't.
Expect to pay about $100, you know, maybe a little more.
Yeah, you know, I won't do that because I get a lot of mileage out of my equipment. So, but I pay, you know, I pay for it.
Yeah,
that's the way to do it.
It's worth it in the long run.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much, guys, and have nice weekends.
You too, Bob. Have fun.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Out there in Rush enjoying himself. Very nice.
Yep.
It's a Steve is absolutely right. We all like to save money, but it's penny wise and pound foolish. You know, you save a few bucks here, but it means you're replacing it in a couple years as opposed to replacing it in 5 years.
Remember back in the day, we were always telling folks about how they'd spend all this money and then not go to a better monitor. And it's like, well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
What do you stare at most of the day? You know, and they go cheap on the monitors. And that's something you were staring at all the time.
The monitor and the chair.
Yes, I have a friend who just was so excited because he got Greenlight and he paid for gigabit Ethernet. And I went to his house and I said, why are you paying for gigabit Ethernet? Your router only does 100 megabit.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a choice. You can either waste money, or you can go out and buy another router. Well, I don't want to spend the money in a router. What, you're wasting money every month by having something too fast
that you can't take
for your network. Yeah. Your computer will do gigabit. Your desktop, your wired computer will do gigabit, but your router will not. You bought a cheap router. I don't even know where you get a router that doesn't do gigabit anymore, but he did.
Wow.
Might be just old. I didn't pay much attention to that.
It's probably $5 cheaper.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, make sure you're...
Yeah, you go to the big box store, you'll find a router for $39.
Yes, you will.
And don't buy it.
Yeah,
right.
It'll break in 6 months, and then you buy a new one.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, you know, we tend to pull behaviors from other things. So I find people pull a lot of their behavior from the way they do their cars. I bought a cheap beater for winter.
Mm-hmm.
And it only cost me $300 and I've run it for 3 winters now. Yeah, but you spend every weekend underneath it. You spend hundreds of dollars in repairs.
Yep.
But it only cost me $300 to buy, so I win. And the same thing is with a router, only we don't repair our routers. We don't go in and fix our routers. We throw them away and buy a new one. It's the same with Windows 7. I've owned this car for 22 years and it runs like a top. Sure, because you're spending $700 in the garage every month getting it repaired. But that's, you know, and the same thing with Windows. We tend to pull those behaviors over from the other thing. And, you know, God bless you, but the reality is that computers aren't cars. They don't work the same way, they don't run the same way, and they don't play the same way. So,
but cars are becoming computers.
Cars are becoming computers. Really? Yes, they are.
Yep.
Yes, they are. I want a driverless automobile.
The new ones now that will sit there. Stopping quick, boom, it'll stop, or you're going to pull out, it'll warn you not to swerve out.
I want a car that does all the driving for me. I want an autonomous car, a driverless automobile.
We had a customer in the office this week that had a Tesla Model X. Says she was on the waiting list for 2 years.
Yeah, I bet.
Yep.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Mina Francesco, and you, 40 minutes after the hour. It's Sound Bites on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Wright.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. The joy of Sound Bites. And let's see, we already talked about that. I'm looking for a hard story to run. A window. Oh, here we go. as we all know, Windows Vista was a shock to many Windows users because its hardware requirements were a steep upgrade from Windows XP. Required a gigahertz processor, a gig of RAM, DirectX 9, 40 gigabytes of mass storage. But those 2006 era requirements looked a lot less steep when Windows 7 came around and when Windows 8 came around. But on the Windows 10 anniversary update, which is referred to in documents as version 1607, so it's likely to ship in July, there will indeed, for the first time since Vista, be an update in the hardware specs for Windows. The RAM requirement is going up to 2 gigs for 32-bit installations, and that brings the system in line with 64-bit requirements, which have called for 2 gigs since Windows 7. We, of course, recommend 4 gigs. Just because it'll run in 2 gigs doesn't mean you want it to run in 2 gigs. So 4 gigs would be better.
You won't like it very much.
Right. Also, for you geeky people, all new systems must ship with Trusted Platform Module 2.0. The TPM is used for various cryptographic purposes, storing disk encryption keys, stuff like that. OEMs used to be able to choose between TPM 1.2 and 2.0, but 2.0 adds a number of additional encryption capabilities, and Microsoft is saying, if you want Windows 10 anniversary update, you had best be on new machines, rather. You'd best have 2.0. It also changes acceptable screen sizes, and there's a lot more overlap now between Windows 10 Mobile, which I don't even know why anybody bothers anymore, and previous updates enabled support for Snapdragon 820s, but ARM support is still stubbornly restricted to 32-bit only, and things like that. So as I constantly tell people, the price of poker keeps going up. If your computer is only running a gig of RAM, if your computer is old enough, running that Windows 10 anniversary update may not happen for you. You may find that you would need to buy a new computer. Again, that goes back to what Steve was saying. We tend to buy inexpensively. I'm guilty of that on the last machine that I bought. I told you, I finally bought an actual Windows computer, but it was for a specific class. And so I don't care that it doesn't run a lot of other things.
Yep. Yeah, your needs were totally different.
Right. But in general, if you're buying a general purpose machine, the price of poker has gone up, and you need to be aware of that, and you need to pay attention to it, and you really, truly do need to start spending a little more money to buy that new computer. Now, again, that's assuming you're going to stick with Windows 10 or with Windows in general. If you're going to buy a Mac, it will cost you more or the same as a Windows machine. If you're going to go with a Chromebook, it is significantly less, sometimes orders of magnitude less.
Uh-huh.
If you've got an old laptop lying around that's got at least a gig of RAM in it, preferably two, then Neverware's Cloud Ready would be an excellent alternative. I put it on a laptop that's got a gig and a half of RAM. It's a little slow, but it runs, and it runs fine.
Yeah.
Neverware, we've talked about this before. You can look for it in the posts on the website. Neverware is a product that packages the Chrome operating system, the open source version. If you buy a Chromebook, you get Chrome OS, which Google has made a couple of tweaks to, but there is an open source version that is absolutely free for anyone to install. It's a massive pain in the neck to actually install it. But the folks at Neverware have packaged it up into their Cloud Ready product, and you can just download it, put it on a flash drive, boot from the flash drive, hit the install button, bang, you're installing it. 10 minutes later, you've got a working Chromebook. It's kind of amazing, and it lends all sorts of new life to old machines. So if you've got an old laptop lying around that you're not using, and it has a decent amount of RAM, again, the speed of the processor is important, But the RAM is really important because, and the graphics card is important. You may not be able to do 3D stuff without a good graphics card, et cetera, et cetera. But in terms of the actual speed of the system, it really is the RAM that determines for most things. It's the RAM that determines how fast that machine will run, the amount of RAM you have, particularly if, like me, you've got a half a dozen or a dozen or sometimes 26 tabs open at once. Having a lot of RAM is an important thing in those in those instances.
Now, does one of your tabs tell you how many tabs you have open? Because I hear that a lot. I've got 128 tabs open. How do you know?
Right.
Something must count them, right?
I know because I've got one tab open, and then I have a whole set of tabs underneath a folder.
Yeah.
And if you right-click, you can open it, say open all.
And are you sure you want to open 26 tabs?
That's exactly what it says. That is exactly what it says.
Why, thank you. No, I'm not.
No, I did not want to do that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and both of my browsers, so I'll use both the Chrome and Foxfire. And on both of them, I have at least 8 to 10 tabs on both.
Yeah.
That open up because I want to be able to just quick click.
Yeah.
And go from here to
a lot
there
of people
and there.
Do that. Yep. And if you've got 2 gig or more of RAM, that's not a problem.
Yep.
4 is always the big bottleneck these days is RAM.
Mm-hmm.
And really the difference between 2 gigs of RAM and 4 gigs of RAM is not a lot of money anymore.
No.
So, you know, go with more RAM. Go with more RAM. People are also complaining, well, the processor is just an ARM processor. The processor is the Celeron
or the A series? It's an APU. It's not a CPU.
Right, right. Yeah. And you know what? That does not matter even a little bit anymore. When you're talking about a Chromebook, because that's not where the processing happens. It's not.
Yeah, you're on a web page. The processing is at the other end.
Right. What you want is RAM, so you can open more tabs and move things around faster. And the operating system doesn't strain to get things done and doesn't swap out to disk a lot.
One of the big problems we see with running the older OSs is that the web browsers are not supporting older OSs.
Right.
Chrome version 50 won't run on XP or Mac 10.6 or even older versions. Firefox, I think, 49 or 50, one of the versions are also doing the same thing. And Apple's Safari and Microsoft's Internet Explorer, same sort of thing, and they only run on the newer OSs. So the websites you're on, you're running an older OS. It's probably vulnerable to the attack vectors that have been fixed since then, and you can't upgrade your browser without upgrading your OS. And so to that one earlier caller, he's still running Windows 7. Fortunately, Chrome and Firefox are still supporting Windows 7, but they may not continue to support it through 2020.
Right,
like he was hoping to do, we've got some old computers that we keep in our office. We try to keep one on each system version because people come in with those system versions.
Right,
and I'm getting notices going to Google. You know, your browser is too old, and then I go to Chrome and say your OS is too old.
Right,
so I can't do either without upgrading it even more.
Right, and that will always be an issue, but the people who insist on keeping their computer for 20 years, for some reason they think that's a point of pride.
Yeah, Firefox 46 stopped supporting Mac OS 10.6, 10.7, and 10.8, so you have to go to at least 10.9.
Right.
And one of the things in Apple's favor is that they do support older computers. Some of the latest operating system will run on 2007 computers, you know, almost 10 years old. You won't like it very much because you probably have 1 gig of RAM, maybe 2. So you're going to want to add more memory. Same thing that we were talking about with Unix and Windows. More memory can make up for a slower processor. You probably have a small hard drive that's probably full, so you might need a bigger hard drive too. And by the time you're all said and done, you're probably better off buying a new computer anyway. But
right.
You can still keep these old computers limping along.
I have an old original reference model of the Chromebook that Google sold to developers. And it's updatable to the latest version of the operating system, which is great. Now, it won't run the next version, which will include Android apps.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the older systems will not. But again, for people who spent $179 for a computer 2 years ago it really owes you nothing. Buy a new one if you want to run Android apps as well as the Chrome OS. Right.
And for the vast majority of average people, they're just running a web browser. They want email, right. They want photos, they want websites. And for even more people, the internet is Facebook.
Right.
They don't even know anything else is there because all they do is Facebook.
Right. And for that, why are you spending $600, even $300 on a computer when you can spend $150 on a computer?
Yep.
It's ridiculous. All right, we are done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. We had some really good discussions today. I want to thank Dave Enright and Steve Ray. Right. I want to thank Dave Enright and Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. We'll be back in just 166 hours, but don't go away. George is coming in to play the best German music you'll hear all week. Michael is here to keep him on the straight and narrow. And we will see you next week with the longest running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites and the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you in 166 hours.